New Zealander Joan Wick was just 19 years old when she was found stabbed to death in the back room of a Sydney service station.
Her life's been lost, our lives have been ripped apart, and no one's been held accountable.
Was it a robbery gone wrong?
No, that's a frenzied attack, and there's got to be something, some very serious reason for it.
Or something more deliberate.
I'm going to come back and get you.
Those were his exact words. I will come back and get you one night.
Two psychics will turn to the spirit world for answers.
Why does he keep seeing a knife in his hand?
Just keep seeing the knife.
It's so strong here. It's hurting my head.
They will search for new clues in the hunt for Joan's killer.
There's so much anger built up in this guy that he's just exploded.
He's watched her and followed her. He's seen her before.
Rage, just rage. This is all I'm going to feel sick and I'm hurting and I've got rage.
I feel like I want to put some flowers there for her.
The rage is eating up the boy and killing Joan.
No one has ever been charged with the brutal stabbing of young New Zealander Joan Wick more than 45 years ago. Sensing murder psychics Sue Nicholson and Deb Webber have come to Sydney to examine Joan's death. They each have a day to find out how and why Joan died.
The rules for sensing murder are clear. The psychics have no prior information about the victim or the filming locations. They are filmed on separate days. Their job is to provide the victim's name, age, sex, and details of how and when the person died. Correct answers are sometimes confirmed by the film crew.
She's just a really bubbly personality.
The personality is coming through very light-hearted and, you know, like I want a chatter, likes to chat.
People liked her. She just said, I hope they did.
She was a pretty good up-and-go sort of a girl. Attractive?
Fun. Absolute fun, loving, friendship.
I don't think she came from Sydney. She feels like she might have come from somewhere else.
She just said to me, I want to go home.
Because her parents didn't live here. So they were a distance from her. She came to Sydney to work, maybe.
Deb is correct. Joan left New Zealand to start a new life with a working holiday in Sydney.
She keeps flicking her hair back. So I know she's got long hair, not short cropped hair. She's got like length in her hair. The B, blonde. I'll go the blonde. I have to go blonde.
She had lovely hair and she decided she wanted to go blonde.
Not a big girl, more a slender build.
She just said to me, I had a nice figure. And I said, yeah, you look like you got a nice figure. She was very particular about what she looked like, her clothes, like modern things. Being out there, being seen.
It's the clothing I'm looking at, and 72, 71, 72, 71, 72, somewhere there. Because 71, I reckon 71.
1970, 1971, yeah, because you showed me 1971.
Both psychics have a strong connection. It was 1971, and Joan was working at the Sydney service station in the inner city suburb of Darlinghurst. Joan was saving for her dream trip to Europe.
Said she wanted to travel.
She said something about travel, and I got over border.
She wanted to get to England. That was the goal.
Her main priority was to save money to go to the UK and do her big OE.
Joan would walk to work through the notorious King's Cross, a dangerous area known for its high crime rate and drug scene.
King's Cross, you know, that all sorts goes on in King's Cross, but we never had any worries about anything like that. And I think at that age, you don't think of what could happen to you.
Joan could handle herself in any situation.
She's saying to me, I'll help anyone. But she said, lie to me or cheat on me, that will be it.
She stood up for herself. If somebody, you know, wolf whistled her in the street or said something nasty like that, she'd tell them off.
The psychics home in on the night of Joan's murder and reveal some startling facts.
I keep hearing the word work, I keep seeing cars and something about a petrol station.
Still see it outside at night.
Late at night, 10 o'clock or...
Oh yeah, it's 10 p.m.
Joan was last seen alive just before 10 p.m.
Struggle. Definitely lots of struggle, a lot of fighting. Someone attacked her.
She would have fought with everything she had. She's a really spunky girl like that.
There's something, a blow to the chest.
There must have been a few stab wounds or something going on, because I feel like I've been hit quite a few times. There's something over her mouth or something. Be quiet, be quiet. Oh, you keep hearing me. Shut up.
This wasn't an accident, because I'm not getting that. There was an intent behind it.
Whoever it was just jumped her and then just took off, like she meant nothing. So she doesn't understand why she was killed.
Joan's friends, former boyfriends and work colleagues were all interviewed. Police believed the motive was a botched robbery. The newspapers pointed at a jealous ex-lover. Were vital clues being overlooked?
Joan came home from work one night. It must have been 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And she just said it matter-of-factly. This guy came in and started mouthing at her.
You are well beautiful, that's what it is.
Look, I'm not interested, all right?
Me and you.
No, thanks, I'm really not
buy
interested.
Buy you a drink?
Look, it's time
buy
for you to
drink.
Leave.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm
I'll
not
buy
kidding
you a drink,
you.
Right?
No.
You ain't got a boyfriend or nothing.
It's none of your business. It's time for you to go.
No.
And she told him where to go. And he said,
I'm gonna come back and get you.
I told the police when I was interviewed that she had been threatened by this young guy. And, I mean, there were no names. I don't know who it was. And that's just always stuck in my mind, that maybe it was him.
Was it a compulsive act of revenge or a well-thought-out attack?
I know there was a few people that didn't like her, and I just feel like that was more to do with her personality of the way she was. But I get a lot of jealousy around her. I get just jealousy from people, a male. It was very possessive of her. I'm very nervous with him. Angry. And a temper.
Joan's mum and dad have since passed. Her brother Leon and sister Louise have come to Sensing Murder with the hope that the psychics can give them some answers.
Yeah, something about her sister never been happy, really happy. So she's carrying this a lot. She hasn't let it go or anything, and how do you? I mean, it's a sister that we're talking about.
Someone's done this. They're out there, they're living. Our lives have been torn apart because of it, and if the psychics can come up with something to give the police or... just something to give us a bit of closure, because it eats away at you.
Next on Sensing Murder, the psychics head to the service station where Joan met her violent end.
It's here, she keeps looking over there.
What new clues will they find when they get there?
I'm hearing screaming.
I can hear her scream, but nobody's hearing her.
New Zealander Joan Weck was brutally stabbed in an inner-city service station in October 1971. On separate days, psychics Deb Webber and Sue Nicholson have come to Sydney to use their special gifts in the hope that they can shed new light on the 46-year-old cold case.
Whoever it was just jumped her and then just took off, like she meant nothing.
Even she wants to know why, because she keeps saying to me, I didn't do anything to anybody.
It's time to leave the hotel. Will Joan guide the psychics to the scene of her murder? Deb and Sue are only given an inner city map, but but somehow both are immediately drawn to the Darlinghurst area.
Oxford Street. All right, Surrey Hills. Albin. What street are we on? Oxford Street? I didn't go down Oxford Street anyway. There was Finders Street, Finders Street around this area here. It's very strong. Yeah, F-L-I-N-D-E-R-S. No, that's just something not right in this area here because now my head hurts.
Is this Flinders? Go down, I think we've got to go down Flinders Street. Eastern Distributor, Flinders, yeah.
Both psychics have correctly identified Flinders Street, and Sue also picks up on other aspects of Joan's life in the area.
I don't feel this has much changed. There's like the trendy shops here. Like when she looked down here, it's like different clothing and things like that. This is what I'm getting.
Flinders, it's down here to the right. Is that it there? There you are. I think maybe that's it just there. It looks like it might be it, but there's nothing here. No, I think this is it. There's nothing here. Oh. She said it had changed. She didn't say it was completely gone.
Deb has identified the correct area and, on a different day, Sue directs us to the same location.
Feels like I want to go over here. I don't know if that makes sense to you. It's here. She keeps looking over there. And I feel like I'm going to cry in a minute. Over there. I want to go over here.
Sue is drawn to the alley behind the old petrol station.
Since she was here, this has all changed because it's been some time since she's gone. And I want to go down this way because all this wasn't here then. Because she kept showing me like I was walking through an alley or something, which is like here. Yeah, it's all been changed.
The petrol station has altered significantly since Joan's death and is now just an empty lot.
Okay, it's getting stronger as I'm coming from here. Tell me where you are. It's got to be here. Show me, it's here.
The precise area Sue's identified is compelling because on the other side of the fence is believed to be the exact spot of the old brick cashier's building where Joan was working at the time of her death.
It's here. Here. It's right here. No, this is where I feel. It's here.
Now that both psychics are connected with the spirit of Joan, the night of her murder comes clearly into view.
I just feel like he's come straight in, like straight in, headed towards her and saw on my face. It must have knocked her out or something. Must have knocked her out.
It's so strong here. It's hurting my head. So I don't know if she was beaten around the head.
Struggle. Still get a struggle. Someone's grabbing at her. I'm hearing screaming.
It's interesting because I can hear her screaming. I can hear her scream, but nobody's hearing her. Nobody's here listening to her. Why is it keeps seeing a knife in his hand? Because I keep looking down at my hand. Like I've got a knife.
Just keep seeing the knife. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Stopped. She just stopped. 1, 2. Well, there's quite a few stabbings.
I keep getting my hand over my mouth, like I'm calling out or screaming, and he wants to shut up. I can see her. It's like she's lying face down. There's something here, really around the chest and the head. The injuries to her head, I don't know if that was when she fell or hit her with something, but it's not good.
There's no light. I saw there's a light on inside the building, but there's no... It's really weird. Something about this back room anyway, and when I get the back room, the light's not on. It's dark. Oh, God. Anyway, I'll keep hearing the words. I can't get out of the room. So I'd say she's deceased in the room.
So who could have done this? And how did they get away with it?
It was very fast. It was in, fast, and out again. It's like he didn't hang around. He did what he did, and he had all the intentions of going there and doing what he did to her.
I thought it would be a robbery or something, but no money, no nothing. Just, it's like a killing.
It didn't take anything. I can't see, like, you know, you break into somewhere and you take them, till money, or you take cigarette, whatever they do. But this was an attack on an innocent person for absolutely no reason.
He's either on drugs or something, this guy.
He is either under the influence of something there, because I'm seeing a drug or drugs or something.
He's definitely not straight in the brain. It's like being done for a joke or something. This is ridiculous. This is like an ear laughter.
He's so angry. He's just really angry.
Anger, rage, off my face, and laughter, and it's like really screwed up here. It's completely screwed up.
Next on Sensing Murder, will the psychics uncover the connection between Joan and her killer?
I'm just wondering if he actually approached her in the past.
She's seen him before and she doesn't know why he did this to her.
Will Joan's spirit help solve this case?
I can see her over there. She said, I'm here, I'm here.
Sensing Murder psychics Sue Nicholson and Deb Webber are at the old Sydney service station where New Zealander Joan Wick was murdered more than 45 years ago. Both psychics have ruled out robbery as a motive, instead revealing a man fueled by drugs and anger who had all the intentions of killing Joan. But was this man known to her?
I don't think she knows him, but I think she's seen him before. But I don't know him. Has there been a spotting or something of him before? Feels like he's quite, he's arrogant.
He's watched her and followed her. He's seen her before, and he's seen her in the areas where she goes or visits or, you know, out with friends, and he's watched her.
Andrews, the name Andrews keeps coming in. Andrews. I'm just wondering if he actually approached her in the past, sort of asked her out, and she turned him down or something, because there's this light thing that he's been there before, but it feels like she had nothing to do with him, or she's seen him, but she doesn't know him.
She's seen him before, and she doesn't know why he did this to her. She has no clue whatsoever. Two other people know about this, so there's three.
Sue believes there was a lone killer who may have told others about his crime. But Deb thinks there were two men, one who murdered Joan while the other waited in a car.
I still get two of them, one outside in the dark. Yeah, that one feels older. You know, I just see this mucking around. I see these guys just mucking around and jumping around, acting really foolish and stupid and just like off their faces. And there's anger, there's so much rage in one of them.
The anger is just... I just feel of what he's done to her. It's like a frenzy attack on a young person who had all her life ahead of her. And it was just taken away instantly for nothing. There was no reason behind it. That was it. That was it.
As both psychics make their way to the front of the lot, the exact location of Joan's death becomes clear.
Is this interesting? Because this is starting to make me feel again with my head around here.
The large building at the end of the site is all that's left of the original petrol station, and somewhere inside is the storeroom where Joan met her end.
This building has a really significant energy.
Oh, that's making me feel sick.
But all this building here towards that square has a significant energy with it, with her.
know. See, I'm getting stabbed. I'm getting, like, the physical wounds in my body now.
Oh, God, I had the most terrible pain in my chest, so I don't know if he stabbed it or... I got the most awful pain then in my chest.
But I'm definitely getting stabbed in my stomach at the moment and stuff, so quite a few chest, hand stab.
That really... That felt like somebody just hit me in the chest area. Hit me in the chest.
Sue and Deb try to see what kind of man could commit such a heinous crime.
There's so much anger built up in this guy that he's just exploded by the look of it. I mean, he's just stabbing her.
She put a fight up. She didn't go without a fight. But there's something in his hand. I just feel around the head. And she banged her head or he hit her over the head.
But I think he hit her or something because my head keeps hurting too. So hitting and stabbing and throwing her to the ground. It's like he had a vendetta against her and she didn't do anything.
This was a vendetta or something against her because, like, I've turned somebody down of not wanting to go out with them or...
She either refused him, you know. It's sort of like sort of boy, if you refused him anything, he'd just... snap. Or maybe she looked down at him or something. There's something, no, not even, you know, it's really trivial to other people, but to him it was, how dare you, you know, look at me like that or put me down like that. And then, boom-o, he's just gone off and it's like, whoa.
It's like, comes in, does what he does and goes back out again and nobody seemed to, oblivious to what was going, it's weird. It's the most weirdest, like, he's watching and waiting to actually do this to her. It wasn't the spur of the moment. It happened where he knew what he was going to do.
Both psychics agree. Joan's killer had come across her before and sought revenge for some perceived indiscretion.
The person who did this to her actually would visit the petrol station often. He'd be coming in and out, and he fancied her.
Yeah, I reckon he's been in here before and then he's gone again, so he must know the place, he must know the area. And I keep going back to King's Cross, very much.
He knew what time and what work she had or what shift she was doing. And he'd come in quite often. He had this kind of an obsession with her. It's like he'd fantasise about her. It's like he's asked her out and she's going, oh, no, no, you know, and he didn't like it. I actually feel like she shouldn't have been working that night for some reason. Feels like I shouldn't have gone in that night. I was doing a shift for someone or I shouldn't have gone in that night. She says, I shouldn't have been there.
Sue is correct. Joan wasn't supposed to be working that night. She was covering for another employee who had called in sick. So how did the killer know she would be there?
It's like he's come past here and he's seen her there. He's come past because he's thinking, oh, she's in there. Because I can see her at the front here, or at the counter, or at the front part here. Parked his car here. He walked over there. He did what he did and he got in his car.
And then I've gone, I'm up the road that way.
I keep wanting to go up, for some reason, over that way that he went.
Next on Sensing Murder, the psychics reveal details about Joan's killer.
He's got a really thin face, like really drawn.
And now he's got all these tattoos. It's like he's had a lot of tattoos. That's what I'm seeing.
And emotions run high as the reading reaches its end.
I feel like I want to put some flowers there for her.
Sensing Murder psychics Sue Nicholson and Deb Webber have uncovered some startling theories about the brutal death of Joan Weck. While Sue thinks the killer was an older man who acted alone, Deb believes a younger man murdered Joan while an older one waited outside. Nevertheless, both agree that the man who stabbed Joan was under the influence of drugs, was emotionally unstable, and had revenge on his mind. So what did the murderer look like?
Yeah, he's about 5'8", 5'10".
He's about 5'10". and very rugged looking.
He's got a really thin face, like really drawn face. It's like I can see the shadow of the cheeks going in.
He's got quite big boots on. Like, I'm seeing that, like work boots. Like work boots? I see work boots.
He's got curly hair. It's wavy hair. It's not bald now, I reckon. But he's got wavy brown hair.
He's got very short, this is probably I'm looking at him now, but he's got short, really short hair. And now he's got all these tattoos. It's like he's had a lot of tattoos. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, wasn't that blue eyes that I saw earlier coming in really clear? Like really ugly blue eyes, which is really funny because blue eyes are usually beautiful, but these are like really... They're horrifying, really.
He's not a young person. He's not young, like 17 or 20. He's not. He's like in his very, very early 30s.
I think there's another guy and he's in his... I think he's in his 30s. He's older than the young one.
It's really weird because I actually feel like I want to go to Wollongong or Wollong, like move in that way. Because he did live in the area, but then he moved. He just moved.
Well, I reckon one of them's got AIDS. I just got a real... I don't know why I said that, actually, but it... Well, HIV. Yeah, but I don't think it's the one. I don't think it's the one that attacked Joan. That's the thing. Or he got AIDS, or he got HIV, or something later. Because I don't think he had it then. I don't think. I mean, yeah, it doesn't feel like it. Feels like one of them's alive still. The other one could be deceased, or he had not, like still got one outside. But I don't think he had something to do with the killing. I reckon they should check the names Simon Daniels and Andrews.
Do you know his name? I keep getting that a P, and I keep seeing a P. No, it's very strong there, like a Phil or a Philip. Phil. It's a Phil name.
Simon Andrews or Daniel Andrews? Something like that. They're the names I'm getting anyway. Daniel Andrews. Or Simon Andrews. Oh, maybe they were brothers.
As the reading comes to an end, the full impact of a young life taken finally sinks in.
She's only, like I said before, she doesn't live too far away. It's just, she never got home.
Sorry, I'm going to cry in a minute. I feel like I want to put some flowers there for her. Because she feels forgotten. And... And that's what she can't understand, of what he did to her. And she feels forgotten. I just feel like I want to buy some flowers for her. Because she's such a lovely person.
Sad. Random. Bad. Sad for her. Yeah, she's sad for her sister. Must have been a sister that contacted Sensing Murder. Your sister's just devastated still. And she won't find any peace. But I think she thinks Joan's stuck in the battle, but Joan's not stuck in the battle. Joan's sister's stuck in the battle. Beautiful thing about spirit, we believe in karma. What goes around comes around. And I think he was sick anyway, so.
It has been a long time, and she's such a lovely soul. And she feels at peace now. Yeah. But I just hope that somebody comes forward with some more knowledge or information. Okay. And she's with her mum now. Yeah. So that's lovely. And she's happy and she's okay. Her story's been told.
Joan's siblings, Leon and Louise, have come to Auckland to watch the completed sensing murder. Here too is Joan's friend Christine, who hasn't seen the Weck family in many years. 19-year-old New Zealander Joan Weck was murdered while working at a Sydney service station in 1971.
I feel young, I feel like laughter and vibrant and, you know, the personality is coming through very light-hearted.
People were drawn to her.
How they pick up on her personality was just amazing.
Her personality, bubbly, yeah, they hit on that straight away. Bit feisty, but they got her summed up, I think, with her personality.
She's brown hair. She has to be. But for some reason, it turns blonde on me, so she's really good. She likes mine.
Just the way they picked up on her hair and how she'd colour her hair blonde.
Keep hearing this screaming.
There's something, a blow to the chest.
Oh, my head is so heavy.
And the extent of the injuries of what I'm getting with her, it's like a big blow to the body.
She either refused him, you know, it's sort of like sort of boy, if you refused him anything, he'd just snap.
Like I've turned somebody down of not wanting to go out with them or...
I just can't believe the hate in him to do that. I just can't. If that's a brush off for not going out, to go and do that, you know, bloody asshole. Yeah.
I still get two of them, one outside in the dark.
The person that did it, he can't have travelled far with all that blood. There had to be a car or something down an alleyway.
If there is a car waiting outside, that just absolutely backs up, because he's got to have her blood on him.
He's got a really thin face, like really drawn face.
And now he's got all these tattoos. It's like he's had a lot of tattoos. That's what I'm seeing.
I reckon they should check the names Simon, Daniels and Andrews.
But you just need that one special clue, that one thing that'll say, right, it was him, he was here at the time, we've got him banged to rights.
I actually feel like she shouldn't have been working that night for some reason. I was doing a shift for someone, or I shouldn't have got in that night. She says, I shouldn't have been there.
I didn't know that she wasn't supposed to have been working and she was only standing in for somebody, and that made me realise perhaps he really was stalking her.
It's horrible, because if she wasn't due on that night, that bastard was driving past just to see if she was on. Yeah.
I just hope that somebody comes forward with some more knowledge or information. Okay. And she's with her mum now.
She's with mum. I love that bit. Yeah, that makes you feel, I mean...
Well, they're actually buried together.
Yeah, that's true. They're buried
but
together.
But they're on top of each other in a grave site in Glenfield.
That's it.
So the psychics got that bang to rights where they say the two of them are together. In fact, they are.
Having seen the completed program, what does the family think about Joan and her legacy?
I feel now that her name has been cleared as a prostitute. So my next hopes and wishes would be to find the murderer.
Let's hope it does go somewhere from there and see what the private investigator can turn up. And, if we get a positive result, that'd be brilliant.
Sensing Murder has hired private investigator Grant Coward to look into the new information provided by the psychics. Grant has had a long career in the police, working on over 80 homicide cases. He's come to Sydney to take a fresh look at Joan's unsolved murder.
The information that has been provided by the psychics is something I want to follow up on, but also I want to talk to the police and find out where they're at with this investigation.
Grant visits Joan's old flat on Tusculum Street and retraces her steps from here to the petrol station.
Where she was living was not too far from where she was working, but it's a rather intimidating environment. You know, King's Cross, it had a reputation back in the 70s as a an area of drugs, sex and rock and roll, if you like, and rather an intimidating and vulnerable area for a young 19-year-old from Auckland, New Zealand.
A short 20-minute walk takes Grant to the old petrol station, where Joan met her untimely end.
One of the things that you do when you attend a homicide scene is you get a bit of a feel for it. The purpose for my visit here today is to do that, and also to consider an area canvas. Would there be anyone in the area that may know anything about what happened? And hey, they could. They may not, but it's still worth pursuing with a view to seeing if it jogs someone's memory about what happened here 45 years ago.
As luck would have it, there's one man who's been working in the area since the time of Joan's death. In 1971, this mechanic's shop was in operation, and Lambros remembers how dangerous it was.
It was a ghetto. Drugs, drug addicts and bad people, you know. Around the corner is the mission, where, you know, they're looking after people with problems, right? So all around here we had, you know, a lot of people where the, there was, you know, heroin, LSD, all that sort of stuff. So, and I've been here since 1973, so I've seen the area change, got better, it got nicer, you know, all those people, they moved somewhere else. So, you know, that's what it was.
For Joan, it would have been a very violent and vulnerable area, you know, perhaps even intimidating if you weren't strong enough to react to situations. She may have been offered heroin. She may have been hit upon for sexual favours or whatever. I mean, it was a pretty tough time back then for her.
Private investigator Grant Coward is in Sydney, providing fresh insight into the murder of New Zealander Joan Weck. Walking the scene and talking with locals has confirmed the psychic's revelations that the area was rife with drug addicts and violent people. During the reading, Deb picked up on a couple of names.
I reckon they should check the names Simon Daniels and Andrews.
I'm just checking to see.
After a thorough search of the Sydney electoral rolls from the 70s, we make a surprising discovery.
We have two possible matches, and their professions suggest that they could have been in that area at the time. Hey, thanks very much, Sarah. Cheers. Bye. However, we've further checked the 2008 electoral roll, and neither of those two names are listed, which suggests one of two things, perhaps, that either they've moved on or they've passed on. However, we have searched the obituary records, and there's no death notice for either.
These names have been passed on to the New South Wales Unsolved Homicide Team. At the time of Joan's murder, evidence like palm prints and fingernail scrapings were collected and stored on file. Grant has tracked down former New South Wales detective Mick Ashwood, who believes modern forensic science holds the key to finding the killer.
Well, Joan Weck came across her desk at the time I was the coordinator of the Unsolved Homicide Unit in New South Wales. And the death of Joan Weck was one of the cases listed for review. And there was some physical evidence in Joan's case that was there that could be worked on. And so a review was done of the case. And that case recommended further investigation be undertaken by the Unsolved Homicide Team. So in 2007, that case was forwarded for further investigation.
In terms of technology, you know, how has that advanced over the years?
The growth in technology and the speed at which scientists can advance some of the techniques to obtain DNA and fingerprints, they're every 6 months now, and those exhibits back in 1972 would have been dusted with carbon. Now there's a different number of electronic processes, application of chemicals. The services could now identify a print and also may yield DNA that may not have been available back then. Obviously DNA wasn't around, and there's different types of DNA. And so we ask people just never to give up hope. And those that have perpetrated these crimes, their day will come.
So although I haven't come away with any strong leads, I'm certainly excited and heartened by the information that I've received. With these advances in technology and things like that, there's no doubt in my mind that this case is solvable, and I will be doing my best to ensure that the family are encouraged by this and that the New South Wales Police continue to give this case priority as it deserves.
Hi Louise.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Deb has come to Nelson to meet with Louise and share a final message from Joan to the Weck family.
She's an angel. She is a good girl. And she was fun. She was fun. She was a party girl. She liked to party, you know? Did you?
Yeah. Yes, very much. I think she could be a bit more party than me, but pretty much the same.
And that's all she was. And most people are party people. Yep. It's just that she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, in a sense. Even though it's as dreadful as it is.
That's the bit I can't get that pain, that last whatever minutes, you know, like 10 minutes, I can't get that.
But she's not in that anymore.
Yep.
She's not. So you've got to learn to live really in the now and talk to her and just say, Joan, I know you're around me. I know you love me.
Yep.
And she does, and she's been worried about you. You've got a couple of children to look after that she loves, absolutely adores your children. It's like you've got to ask Joan to help you heal you, all right? And say to Joan, I've got to let you go. I've got to let you go free. I've got to say goodbye for now. But I'm going to see you later.
It's a bit, I've got to see you again.
Yeah, you will see her again. Mm. And the fact is, when they go, the beautiful thing is, Louise, they're not really gone.
Okay.
Think of the good times that you had with her.
Yeah. Yep.
And think of her flying free and just being in peace and and laughing. She laughs a lot.
Okay.
But really, ask her to help you let go.
I will.
It's for you and for her.
Yeah. I will do, dear.
I'm feeling a lot better, a lot more relaxed. She's there watching over. Apparently she's watching over us and the kids, and that's great. I think she's up there with Mum and Dad, but doing her own thing and having lots of fun doing it. I feel a bit of release. I feel like Deb's hugs and saying her spirit is happy. She's relaxed, she's laughing, she's having a good time, and she wants me and Leon to have a good time. We move on knowing that she's in a good place and she's safe now. And we'll catch up on those 45 years someday.